Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This weekly radio program is brought to you by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We now invite you to stay tuned for our message this morning.
Welcome again, my friends, to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. I'm Joe Nettles, and I'm pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, located at 40283 Wolf Road in Caledonia, Mississippi. I also welcome you on behalf of my friend, Elder David Wise. You hear him alternating messages with me Sunday by Sunday. He is the good and learned pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, located at 11 Staten Road, just north of the town of Ackerman, Mississippi. Both of our churches meet at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning, and we're looking for you to come through the door. We anticipate it. We're praying for it. We want you to come and visit with us. We appreciate you tuning into this radio endeavor and hope that you find it to be a blessing to you. We hope that you'll pray for us in this. We also hope that you'll contact us and let us know that you're listening. You can contact this broadcast via the website www.gospel-of-grace.com. Contact us via that website. Go to the frequently asked questions. Follow the links. Listen to archived recordings of previous broadcasts. And we would love to hear from you. Also, we meet together, as the churches at Sulphur Springs in Macedonia, as well as people in the general public and at Mississippi State University, every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at the La Quinta Inn Conference Room in Starkville, Mississippi. We would love to have you come and join us. Come on in, have a seat, open up a songbook. We're going to have a message from the King James Translation. We're going to break bread together in fellowship. We're going to sing as a congregation. No big eyes, no little U's, no performances. Just simple, communal, family-integrated worship. We want you to come and join us any Sunday morning or any Wednesday evening. As I bring you this message today, we're going to continue on the line of thought hanging out at the house of Cornelius. And we hope and pray that this message will be a blessing to you. And after this hymn, we will be right back with today's message. Thank you for staying tuned with us. I'm Joe Nettles. Turn with me in your Bible to Acts chapter 10. As you know, if you've been listening to this series of messages called Hanging Out at Cornelius's House, you know that we've been examining the exchange between Cornelius, a centurion who of the Italian band, a man who was a heathen. He was a man among a heathen culture. And the apostle Peter that was sent unto him, as well as some of the disciples as witnesses. And we also have read about the words of the Lord unto Peter regarding Cornelius and the words of the Lord to Cornelius by way of the angel. So we want to summarize some of the things that we've learned and trying to unpack and examine this wonderful chapter in the Word of God. Point number one is Cornelius pleased God. Just a very cursory reading of this chapter, you can see that Cornelius was already pleasing to God in his prayers, his alms, and his general demeanor. Therefore, he already possessed faith, because without faith it's impossible to please God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. We know that Cornelius prayed, and we've also shown you from the Word of God how that only a heart that's been tendered by the Spirit of God, one that's already born again, one that already has spiritual, eternal life, can truly pray unto the Father. That spirit of adoption is what brings forth the cry, Abba, Father. Point number three, we see that an angel was sent to minister, not to avenge, but an angel was sent unto Cornelius to minister unto him. And we examine the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 1, where it tells us that angels are ministering spirits, sent to minister unto them who shall be heirs of salvation. The angel wasn't trying to get Cornelius to be a child of God. The angel was ministering to Cornelius as already a child of God. Point number four, those who beckoned for Peter to come to Cornelius's house and those to whom he was sent at the house of Cornelius, they were proclaimed as clean before God in the vision of the sheet knit at the four corners and filled with manner of unclean beasts. Yet the Lord had proclaimed unto Peter, what God hath cleansed, call not that common nor unclean. So we see that according to the Word of God, those who came to fetch him and those to whom he was sent were already as proclaimed by God to be clean, not to just be acceptable as far as to go and evangelize, not hell-damned sinners that are waiting to be regenerated by the gospel word and converted unto everlasting life. No. They were already cleansed before the God of glory. And my friends, when God says something's cleaned, that's as clean as it can get. Also, point number five, we have found that Cornelius was seeking the Lord. And Romans chapter 3, verse 11 tells us very plainly that the wicked says of them, none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. Yet Cornelius, and we're also going to read a verse of scripture later that teaches you plainly that Cornelius was anticipating, he was seeking a blessing of the Lord even before he heard any gospel regarding this Lord. So I posit for you today that Cornelius was already secure for heaven before the gospel got to him. And my friends, if the Bible goes out of its way in a special way to show us this character named Cornelius and his house that were beloved of God, that were secure in the Lord, and that the Bible gives us ample evidence that they already had a spiritual awakening and that they were already secure for heaven. If the Bible goes out of its way to give us this example, should we not take comfort from this example? And should it not also give us pause before we start declaring and telling people that until they hear the gospel or until they submit to the gospel, no one can ever be saved for heaven? No, my friends, the gospel saves, but it does not save to heaven. The gospel saves with a bold assurance and comfort of heaven that awaits through the blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, pick back with me now in Acts chapter 10. We're going to begin reading again verse 27. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God hath shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Now, we mentioned this briefly at the end of the last message on this series, in this series, regarding Peter's declaration here that his understanding, even up to that time, that day,
was that according to the law of God, according to the commandment of God, that they had no reason to doubt it. Apparently he never understood that it had been changed. What are we talking about? The commandment of the Lord to go only unto the Jews. He had commanded them during his life while he dwelt with them. Go not in the way of the Samaritans. Go not unto the Gentiles. He said, you go but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And notice that order was never proclaimed, changed until this time. Now, some people say, no, that's not right. The Great Commission sent Peter and the other apostles to go to the Gentiles. Well, my friends, we read quickly from the passages of Scripture referred to as the Great Commission. We go to the book of, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 28. And in Matthew chapter 28, the words of Jesus beginning in verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Wonderful passage of Scripture. But notice he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now, does that mean every nation without exception on the globe? Or was he referring to the multiple nations where the diaspora or the dispersed Jews that lived in the Roman Empire were dispersed? Again, you see that alluded to in Acts chapter 2. It lists Jews that were from multiple nations. Now we go to the book of Mark, in Mark chapter 16, we read that passage of Scripture, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, notice there he says, go ye into all the world. That term world in the Greek, from the Greek word cosmos, can be very general. It can mean the entire world, the entire universe, or it can also be very specific to subsets of that group. Speaking of the world of the Jews or the world of the Gentiles or the world of the church. You see, my friends, you have to rightly divide the word of God, and you have to understand that many of these phrases can have multiple applications. How can you tell what it's pertaining to? Well, you must go by the context. And in neither of those contexts, even though Jesus Christ could have specifically mentioned going to the Gentiles and preaching the gospel at this time, he did not do so. He never specifically told them to go to the Gentiles. Now, somebody may say, well, I think it's easily understood that he meant for them to go to the Gentiles. Brother Joe, why are you making a big deal out of this? Because, my friends, there's nothing wrong with making a big deal out of that which is correct in Scripture. I mean, I don't want to just assume things that aren't actually fact and things that I can't prove in the Scripture. You know, how much time transpired between what we just read in Mark chapter 16 and Matthew chapter 28 and that Great Commission? How much time transpired between then and what we're reading in Cornelius's house in Acts chapter 10? 7 to 10 years had passed. 7 to 10 years. And not one Gentile had been formally preached unto. They had taken the gospel only to the Jews. To the Jews, and to the Jews only. Now, we must ask ourselves two questions. Why didn't they go to the Gentiles if they were supposed to go to the Gentiles? Assuming that Mark chapter 16 and Matthew chapter 28 and the passages that we just read were teaching those disciples that now it is time for you to go and preach the gospel unto the Gentiles as well as the Jews, then why did they not go for another 7 to 10 years? Well, let's look at two different things. We'll ask this question. Were they ignorant? Were they just totally ignorant of what the Lord would have them to do? Did he give them an instruction but did not give them an understanding of that instruction as to what they needed to do? I would tell you flatly, no, they were not ignorant. These men had been given great inspired knowledge of the Holy Spirit of God. We go to Luke chapter 24, and we're going to begin reading in verse 44. And he, Jesus, said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets. and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Here the Lord Jesus Christ is giving a special understanding to very special men. These men had an excellent understanding. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Again, the very generic term, all nations. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. There the Lord had given them great knowledge, and he said, I'm going to send you a spirit that's even going to give you greater knowledge. We go to, in reference to the spirit of comfort or the manifestation of the Holy Ghost unto the church, we go to John chapter 16. And in John chapter 16, we're going to read verses 12 through 15. John 16, 12. Hear the words of Jesus addressing his disciples, his apostles. John chapter 6, verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Now here, much later than this, 7 to 10 years later, even though the Lord had promised them the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of truth had come, we see that recorded in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Ghost here stirring these men and giving them special inspired knowledge. But yet, should we understand that they were just ignorant, that they weren't supposed to go to the Gentiles? You mean Jesus was telling us to go to the Gentiles all this time and we didn't know? No, I don't believe that. Let's ask the second question regarding this. Were they prejudiced and rebellious? It means were their minds so hardened against the Gentiles? Just like Jonah's mind and heart was hardened against the people of Nineveh so many generations before. Were these disciples, these apostles, were these men so hard-hearted, hard-headed, were they so rebellious and stiff-necked that even though they understood the Lord had commanded them 7 to 10 years prior that they were supposed to be preaching this gospel of his finished work in redemption unto the Gentile nations, but yet they say, no, we will not do this. We just won't do it. I know what he said. I know what Jesus told us. I know how he came and he appeared unto us. I know how he dwelt with us 40 days before he ascended unto his Father. I know how he died for us on the cross. I know how he's endued us with power from on high. Yes, I know all of these things, but I will not do what he told me to do. My friends, I wouldn't have that on a stick dipped in gold, because that's not the truth of God's word. Well, just do a little examination of the Acts of the Apostles. In the book of Acts, you're going to see in Acts chapter 4, verses 18 through 21, Peter and John were arrested for healing and preaching. In Acts chapter 2, and again we see recorded in Acts chapter 4, these disciples were so on fire for the truth that they were willing to distribute their possessions among one another. They were opening their pocketbooks. They were emptying their pantries. Do these sound like people who are hard-hearted and not willing to sacrifice? You see, recorded in Acts chapter 5, the apostles again were arrested for preaching and discipling in the name of Jesus Christ. An angel came in and opened the prison and led him from the inner sanctum of the prison, the inner portion of the prison, out past all of the guards, through all of the gates. You see, they were released with power because they'd been preaching in power. In Acts chapter 5, verses 40 through 41, you see where the apostles were beaten. I mean, really scourged and beaten. When you got a beating back then, you better believe you were beaten. And these men were beaten in the name of Jesus Christ, but said they went about rejoicing that they had been counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Jesus Christ. Do these sound like a bunch of hard heads? Do they sound like people that don't love their Lord enough to obey him, even though they understood clearly what his instructions were? Doesn't sound like it to me. There's one named Stephen in Acts chapter 7. We see that he was willing to be stoned to death for preaching the gospel of this Lord. So one, were they ignorant? We must say no, they were not ignorant of what they were supposed to do. We should understand that, yes, they knew the instruction of the Lord and they knew what it meant. And also, we've got to understand that they were not prejudiced and they were not rebellious. No, my friends, they just weren't supposed to go to the Gentiles until this episode in Acts chapter 10. Proof text for that is the Council of Jerusalem and the teaching and the preaching of the Council of Jerusalem as recorded in Acts chapter 15. And we're going to see here, Acts chapter 15, verse 7, we see that James, the pastor of that church, had stood and he made this proclamation. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose. I'm sorry, these are the words of Peter. You'll find James alluding to this later. It says, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Now, wait a second. The passage of the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, Mark chapter 16, the Lord was speaking to all of the apostles when he gave them those instructions. Peter is not singled out in either of those texts. But yet Peter is standing up here and saying that you all know it's common knowledge that God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth, singular, possess my mouth, should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Now, if they had some misunderstanding about that, if they were saying, no, now we all know that he told us way back there before his ascension that we were supposed to be preaching this gospel to the Gentiles. You know better than that, Peter. And we know what we're supposed to be doing, even though we didn't do it all this time, you know, I mean, but we all knew. You can't just say it was just you. No, there was no argument. There was no kickback. No kicking against the pricks. My friends, they were all in agreement because they knew that it was up until this time that Peter was instructed to go and preach to the house of Cornelius. They knew that it was not their time to go. But now, Peter understood that it was time for him to go. And my friends, he went and he preached. Now, somebody may say, well, what's the big deal? Well, my friends, the big deal is I don't want anyone thinking hard about the apostles. That when someone finds out of the long time expanse in between the Great Commission passages that we read earlier and the recorded spread of the gospel unto the Gentiles in gospel knowledge that we see recorded in Acts chapter 10, I don't want somebody thinking, well, these men that we're supposedly putting our trust in, these men who are inspired of the Holy Spirit of God to put together, to write the canon of Holy Scripture, of Holy Writ, these men that God used to give special revelation unto and to suffer in a special way and to be the very foundation, as it were, of the gates of Jerusalem recorded over in the book of Revelation and the vision we see written over there, which is in typical of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we trust these men when these men were still so rebellious and hard-hearted against Jesus Christ? You see, my friends, that just will not do. So no, we must form our suppositions, our understandings about Scripture, not by what we hear touted publicly by people generalizing the terms all nations or all the world. Because my friends, that can be used in a multitude of ways. I think if you go over to Luke chapter 2, you're going to find where Caesar Augustus taxed all the world. Well, my friends, we know that he didn't tax one American Indian. I don't think he went to Canada and taxed anyone, do you? What about deepest, darkest South Africa? Do you think Augustus was, you think he was down there taxing them? No, Augustine didn't do that, my friends. He taxed all the world of the Roman Empire. And this is just one example that we need to be very careful and judicious, prayerful, and studious when we go to the Word of God. And before we make generalizations and claims that, my friends, that we keep as too dogmatic, let us be very careful to compare Scripture with Scripture. I hope and pray this has been some kind of blessing to you. We want to carry on with this chapter next time that I speak with you. And until that time, I pray that the Lord's special grace and comfort will be upon you all.
Wonderful grace of Jesus.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. To find a Primitive Baptist church near you, to listen to past messages online, and to find further contact information, you can visit our website at gospel-of-grace.com. You can also find our program on iTunes under podcast, entitled The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Radio Broadcast. If you listen and enjoy our program, we would love to hear from you. You may contact us by email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road, Caledonia, Mississippi, and Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, 11 Staten Road, on Highway 15, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi. We would love for you to come and worship with us each Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We invite you to tune in again next week for another message from the Gospel of Grace. Until next time, we pray God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord.
Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus.